Hi, a very warm welcome to BB Fintech Earnings Call Quarter 4, Financial Year 2023-2024. Today we have with us Yashish Dahiya, Chairman and CEO BB Fintech, Alok Bansal, Executive Vice Chairman BB Fintech, Sarbvir Singh, Joint Group CEO BB Fintech, Naveen Kukreja, Co-founder and CEO Paisabazaar, Mandeep Mehta, Group CFO BB Fintech, and I'm Rasleen. I will now request Yashish to give his introductory address.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody who's in this part of the world. First of all, I'm super pleased with this last quarter. And the primary reason for that is health and life insurance combined, which is a core of our business and a bulk of our long-term value, had a combined growth of 53% year-on-year in new premiums for the quarter. And that is clearly what drives our long-term profitability and our net present value of our business. Health, I must call out, has significantly outperformed this number of 53%, but we do not disclose specific segment-wise percentages. Our total insurance premium for the quarter was 5,123 crores, and that gives us an ARR of 20,000 crores, which was also a long-awaited milestone. So we are also very pleased about that. And our new insurance premium grew at 47% for the quarter, which, given everything else, seems like a fantastic outcome. Our core insurance premium, so for our online business, the insurance premium, including renewals, grew at 40%. And the core insurance revenue grew at 36%. There was a slight, it was slightly lower than the 40% growth, and that is primarily because of a lower take rate of the savings side. And a few changes, you know, quarter on quarter, a few changes keep happening here and there, but that's basically it. The credit-linked business, Paisabazaar, has slowed down pretty much as expected. So we had been guiding towards a 20% growth. It grew at 22%. If you notice, this quarter, we are giving out this very specific guidance of how much did core insurance grow, how much did core. We usually do not do that. But it is because there's a number that just needs to be explained here. New initiatives grew at 15%. Now, that may seem like it wasn't a great growth, but that is actually not the case. Quarter on quarter, new initiatives grew at 50%. So last year, we had an extraordinary same quarter where we had grown more than 100% quarter on quarter. So if you think about it, last year, Q3, new initiative revenue was 185 crores. It went to 365 crores, which was almost a doubling. So it was a very special quarter. And it was very difficult to grow on that 365 crore base. But we still grew at 15%. But because of significant part of the revenue, that subdues the overall revenue outlook to 25%. So the combination of this, these three essentially comes out to 25%. So we had aimed for a full year PAT break even, and we are very happy to announce that we achieved that ahead of the target in Q3 itself, and have now ended the year with a PAT of 64 crores from a loss of 488 crores last year. This is a swing of 552 crores. I think if you were to ask me my own opinion, I think the 64 crores in my estimate is a little below where I expected it to be. And as I said, there are quarter on quarter movements which you sometimes cannot control. So that's the way it is. Our revenue for the year grew 34% to 3,438 crores. Revenue for our online marketplaces, Policybazaar and Paisabazaar, which we refer to as the core businesses, grew to 39% to 2,375 crores, while improving their adjusted EBITDA margin from 6% to 14%. Adjusted EBITDA for these businesses are now 324 crores. See, our trail revenue, this year was again a very special year because of the growth of health. I have explained it multiple times. In fresh health business, our margin goes down to zero. for that year, obviously. So what you see is approximately 45% coming out on a standalone basis for Policy Bazaar core. But when we do fresh health business, the part of that is zero. So any disproportionate growth in fresh health will actually reduce margins. And you know, some of that you would see, but our trail revenue, which was 577 crores, up from 388 crores last year. So if you notice, that's almost 190 crore growth. And this comes at a 85% margin and a significant source of profit. And I think as we look forward, that should become stronger and stronger. We continue to improve our, and this is another number, which was at a particular number, pretty high, but it was stuck there. We have now got a CSAT of 89%, which is actually the highest we have ever reported. Our credit business growth showed moderation. However, it continues to be adjusted EBITDA positive since December 2022. We are now at an annual run rate of 14,000 crores on disbursals and about 6 lakh crores on issuance on an annualized basis of cards, of credit cards. The credit score consumer base has now increased to 43 million. 75% of the cards were processed end-to-end digitally. And 75% of disbursals are from existing customers. We continue to strengthen our leadership in new initiatives while building further efficiencies. If you notice this year, the new initiatives broke even at a contribution basis. So PB Partner, our agent aggregation platform, continues to lead the market in scale and efficiency of operations. Quarter on quarter, it grew 50%. So please don't get bogged down by the 15% year-on-year growth. Just the base was extraordinary. We have moved the business strongly towards smaller and higher quality advisors. That's the big change that's happened from this year to the last year. And it has the highest proportion of non-motor business and is present in almost 18,000 PIN codes, which is almost 93% of all PIN codes in India. We continue to see improving efficiencies in this business and, you know, increasingly becoming more and more confident of this business breaking even sometime in the near future. Our UAE premium grew 2.3x, and that business also continues to do very well. So very happy to take questions now. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Yashish. We'll take the first question from Srinath. Srinath, please unmute yourself.
Hi, Yashish. Just wanted to understand that there's been an increase in porting in health policies at the system level. With that context, want to understand how this impacts our persistency of our back book and our NPV calculation, given that our back book is in health extremely profitable. At least could you share some qualitative understanding on how persistency has played out this year versus say last year or the year before? That'll be great. And I have a second question on Paisa Bazaar. I'll come after you're done with this.
So I will hand this question totally to Sarabbir. However, this is something obviously you would expect someone like me to be tracking also in addition to Sarabbir and very, very closely. So I just wanted to mention our persistency is the highest it has ever been. It is higher than the past. And the rest of it, I'll just pass on to Sarabbir.
Yeah, no, I think 2 points. The system actually, in our opinion, has been at roughly the same level as the previous year. So actually the system is at an elevated level, but it has been the same for the last 2 years. Our persistency, as Yashish just mentioned, and we measure it both by number of policies as well as, of course, the premium amount, is at the highest that it's ever been. And we, spend a lot of time and energy in ensuring that. And I also want to just share that our fresh business also, the percentage of porting is at least half of the overall market level. So we bring a lot of fresh new customers to health insurance. And we don't actually end up, giving a lot of porting business to our partners.
So just to, so you don't think we are beating around the bush or anything. Our porting is about, of our fresh business, is about 20%. So just being crystal clear on that, in that range, approximately 20% and not widely off that. And our persistency on renewals in both number of transactions and premium, it is the highest ever. It is a percentage or a percentage to 2% more than it has been in the past ever. And I'm talking about the whole year, and it's only continuing to improve. Clear?
Yeah.
Got it. Just a clarification on this 20% that you have shared. Again, qualitatively, can you comment whether it has seen an increase over the last 2 years substantially or has it been somewhat constant in a range? That would be nice. Again, very qualitatively would be.
Yeah, so post-COVID, it has seen some increase. I think it would have been in the 15 or mid-teens kind of range earlier. It has gone up a little bit over the last 2 years. But year on year, it's kind of roughly been in the same neighborhood.
Okay,
I think the key point to take away was what Sarbvir mentioned, that we are at about half the rate of where the system, as Sarbvir euphemistically called it, is. And I think the second part is we pride ourselves in bringing new customers to the system.
Yeah.
Got it. Perfect. One question on Paisa Bazaar. Wanted to understand, it seems like the regulator is favoring secured products over unsecured products. Is there a way with the kind of evolution of technology, maybe digital signatures and so on and so forth, that we could look at originating some part of the secured products which, go to granular retail? Is there any thought on something like this, given that we are a platform which probably has the highest organic traffic for loan searches coming in? Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thanks, Srinath. You're right. It's also there in one of our slides, if you've seen the presentation, that currently our secured dispersal percentage would be about 13 to 15% on a quarterly basis. And one of our key priorities for this year is to try and increase the secured growth and hence the secured contribution. There are multiple categories that we're exploring. Within that, we already have home loans and loan against property live. There is some digitization that's happened in those categories, but it's still limited to a income-based sanction kind of stage because the primary asset is still kind of non-digital. But there are some interesting new categories that we're exploring, like loan against security. We know that what's happened to the number of consumers coming into equity market over the last 4 years. And that asset or that secured loan category is becoming interesting. So we're exploring a couple of additional categories besides home loans and LAP. But the overall priority is to increase the secured loan contribution.
So just to kind of clarify, we have seen tightening, and I wanted to take this opportunity since we have all of you. Thank you for being around. I had said I expected about a 10% reduction. While that has proven correct for the last quarter, I expect this to last at least one more quarter. And the expectation, I think, is going to be below that. So I think we would be good at maybe 0 to 10% growth for Paisa. And I'm giving this guidance only because it is a very special situation right now for the next one quarter. But we don't expect it to last very long because at a very fundamental level, it's not a quality-based slowdown. It is a process-based slowdown. And just to also explain one number, because Naveen mentioned that about 13% of our dispersals are secured. From a revenue perspective, it's approximately 4% of our revenues from the secured category. So secured does not really exist for us so far. We were quite convinced we want to build up that category along with unsecured. We're not worried about unsecured, but we think secured is an opportunity.
Thank you, Yashish. Thanks for the clarifications.
Thank you, Srinath. We'll take the next question from Jayan. Jayan, please unmute yourself.
Thank you, Rasleen. And congratulations to the whole team for the strong set of numbers. Two questions from my end. One is on the renewals. Clearly, what you've been saying, Yashish, seems to have played out this quarter. I can see the take rate on our renewal commissions in the core business is sort of moved up from that 6.2, 6.3 to almost like 7% this quarter. So I'm guessing the non-life mix is improving over there. Is this sustainable or moves up from here? That is number one. And second is on the other OPEX, the QOQ increase, if you could just help me understand. These two from my end, and again, congratulations.
Sarbvir, you.
Yeah. So I'll start with the second question. This is just a reclassification of how our PB Partners business you know, works. I think the first question was on the renewal revenue. Of course, as you will imagine, as the book will build, this will continue to grow. I also want to just call out that, you know, ever since we become a broker, we do get some renewal revenue on the life side as well. So that is also slowly, you know, starting to add up. So it's a combination of both the things, and we are, you know, both things will keep going. So it should be very, very sustainable.
So the 7% stays for the next or moves up from here? I mean, how should one think about that?
Yeah, why we don't think that way. We actually hope it reduces, because we hope that our new business grows so much that, you know...
This is not percentage. This is just the take rate.
So, renewal take rate. Oh, yeah, that will inch. That, see, yes, both are happening, right? The life is also increasing, and our life renewal is also increasing. Our health is... So we don't... but yeah, assume they stay in the same range here. Assume this. I thought you were talking about relative.
Yes, we don't look at these things in a overall console basis. We look at each vertical, each case. The mix may change a little bit, but you know, it's very tough to estimate that, okay, this 7 will become 6.9 or 7.1, because in a particular quarter, things may change a little bit in a particular vertical. If you look at each vertical, the new take rate and the renewal take rate, that has not moved at all. Unless we have changed the product itself.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. That's right. So in the opening commentary, when Ashish mentioned about savings product, their product itself has changed a little bit. And that's why the take rate has come down for that particular product.
See, only for a new business. At a fundamental level, what you need to appreciate is a large proportion, much more than majority of the proportion of the renewal revenue belongs to health. And in the last year, our fastest growing business is health. In the previous year to that, health had not grown so much, right? So obviously, as you look into the future, the renewal revenue should show, you know, a pretty smart uptick because of what we have done in the past year. But that's a pretty obvious one. I think what we look at, as Alok mentioned, is we look at it at an aggregate level. We look at it year on, you know, we are quite sophisticated about how we look at renewals and everything. And whether we'll every year we look at it in a manner, and that has all been inching upwards. So we are very confident of, you know, the renewal performance.
That answers my question. Thank you. And congrats once again, Dhol.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jayant. We'll take the next question from Sanket. Sanket, please unmute yourself.
Sorry, you can hear me, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks for the opportunity. See, I have a few data keeping questions and few related to strategy. One obviously, if you can give the breakup or you can spell out the exact premium number of PB partners and corporate, PB corporate. And also, if you can give us what was exactly the branding cost which we have done in the current year and in the fourth quarter. That's the one on data. And second, to add on the data, we have if you can confirm the core new business premium number in the fourth quarter is 1770 crores, right? That's first question. Maybe I will ask the second one later.
Sorry, we didn't understand the 177 crores. Can you come
to any 1770 crores is the new business premium for the current quarter, right?
Yes.
For core business, yes.
It's a little higher than that, but yes, it's approximately that. Yeah, 1777.
Okay, perfect. And if you give me PB partners and corporate premium, PB corporate premium, that would be useful. And then branding cost.
POSP is 1200. Both. So corporate is about 200.
This is 1200 for the okay, fine, perfect.
And 1200 is for the quarter, yeah, quarter. Quarter, right? Q4.
Sorry.
POSP is 1200. You know, our corporate is about 200.
Okay, perfect. And just wanted to understand your branding cost. How is that? Means last year, I think we spent around 240 odd crores. How is that number moving in the current year, and how do you expect it to play out?
Sarbi, you want to answer that? Or?
Yeah, I think, Sanket, I think overall our branding costs have been going up below our revenue growth. So if you see, around half, I would say the growth rate. And I think next year also, you know, we would look to, I think the fundamental point is that the model works on driving new, premium growth. So we focus a lot on driving fresh growth. And to deliver that, you know, as long as the, you know, economics look reasonable, we will continue to do that. So there will be some spend, again, below revenue growth, you know, but we will grow brand spending in this financial year as well.
Okay. Will you be okay to spell out the exact number given rupees crore, just from modeling point of view?
It's very tough to give absolute numbers. I think
we don't operate that way, guys. Honestly, we don't operate that way. We see if there's a good opportunity. We think if we have a great creative that is working, we will spend a little more. If we don't have a phenomenal creative, all these decisions for us are very
tactical and ROI.
Are very ROI and tactical decisions. They are not something that we kind of, yes, we have broad ideas and broadly it shouldn't go totally out of whack. But see, at a fundamental level, you need to understand our philosophy. Our philosophy is growth is a priority, massive priority. Profit is actually not a priority. Profit is like counting the engine has gone through and now you're counting the, you know, bogies going through of the train. And that primarily that is because the bogies are essentially the renewal year. See, the profit mostly comes from renewals. The fresh business does not give you profits, at least on the GI side. And within that, we focus on health and life growth because we think we are solving a very serious problem for the consumers, right? And out there, being at 53% thrills me. Now, if that means a slightly higher branding cost, it honestly doesn't, you know, I feel good about it. That's all. Like, so we don't kind of say, okay, last year the branding cost was this much, so how much should it be this year? We don't really work.
But as Ravi said, you know, the brand cost increases roughly half of the premium increase. And as a percentage of it, it keeps on coming down.
Yeah, as a percentage of revenue, of course, it keeps coming down.
Yeah. Got it. The next question was largely on this thing is of late you have stopped speaking on it, but just wanted to understand how you are looking at it. The offline channel within the core business, I believe it used to contribute around 20% of the total premium what you collected till first half. If you can give a bit of color, how branch addition, people addition, or how this offline has played a role in driving your health growth. Just if you give a better color or understanding of that piece will be very useful.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I think the number, as you correctly said, used to be around 20%. It's inching upwards every quarter, every month. It's, you know, the rest of the business is also growing quite rapidly. So it's hard for the proportion to change dramatically. But yes, it is. We are deploying a lot more people in the field. And we are very encouraged by the response to the model. So I think in both the life side and the health side, we are adding people and we are adding centers also. And it's growing quite rapidly.
But at this stage, the number is in the same ballpark of about 20%. But it may be 22%, but it's not dramatically different.
And you continue
the growth in health is quite honestly, it's now been a year and it's just getting faster and faster. And it is not explained by any particular action that we have taken. It just seems to be at a very fundamental level, some kind of a consumer preference for dealing with us. And maybe some, you know, it's not like one particular action or two particular actions are explaining that growth. I'm like, yeah, that's all I would say.
Okay. No, see, actually, that was my subsequent question. Assume the porting would have been a little lower in the current year. Relatively at the system level, because it increased, you benefited because this year was a very unique year because every insurance company took a price hike and naturally there was a customer grievances and people started looking for porting a lot and that benefited the entire sector with respect to porting and you naturally participated in that. So I know.
No, I think that's a wrong conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Porting for us, we already explained, is 20%. I don't know the exact number, but might have been 17% last year. And 3% is, boss, please hear what I said. 53% is the health and life growth.
Yeah.
And health significantly outperformed that. It can't be explained by 3%. Is all I'm trying to say. When I say significantly, it is multiple 10% higher. So please don't force me to give the exact number. It is a crazy number of growth, right? So it can't be explained by 3% here and 2% here.
Got it. Can you tell your market share today in the new business of health?
That is for you to calculate. How would we know?
No, we don't know the exact premium number. That's the reason we can't calculate the market share.
It's quite good, yeah. It's increasing fast. Okay. I will just leave it at that.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, we have a few other questions coming in. Maybe.
Yeah. That's it from me.
Yeah, sure.
I think, Sanket, if I would try to answer the import of your question, right, which is why is our health business growing faster than the market at this point? I think the answer lies not in some silver bullet answer. The answer lies in a series of actions that have been taken over a series of years, right, which have come together. Uh-huh. One is, I would say, our focus on bringing fresh customers to the category. I think everything starts from the fact that we bring customers to the category. Number two, we have worked diligently with our insurer partners to produce products which are relevant and customized to what customers are looking for. That improves the conversion rate that we have. The feet on street plays into that same angle, that people are able to meet customers and close sales at their homes or in their offices. Third thing is the improvement in customer experience that we have. The fact that we are assigning a relationship manager to every health policy. Please just stop for a second and think about it. Every customer is getting a relationship manager. Number four, at the moment of truth, in claims, we are helping people solve their problems where they're getting stuck. So it's an overall series of actions. And I think these actions are coming together and they will continue to strengthen. Now, growth rates by quarter will change up and down. Portability by quarter will change up and down. But I don't think that is the fundamental driver of why our business is growing faster. So this is, I think these four things are the reason why it's happening.
And on porting, Sanket, please note two, three very special points.
Yeah.
We don't encourage porting at all. It's customers who will ask for it. If our customers port within our ecosystem, we obviously keep on getting the benefit. But yes, if a customer comes from outside the system and wants to port through us, we get some benefit. But as he said, the number has not significantly changed. Overall, we do not encourage porting at all. We don't encourage customers. Customers have bought through Policy Baza with their eyes open, understanding the product. Unless there is a media issue, customers should not even think of porting. But yet, sometimes they do. And when they do, we will help them if they ask for it.
Got it, Alok. Thanks, and thanks, Sarafit, for that answer.
Thank you, Sanket.
We'll request the next question from Dipanjan. Dipanjan, please unmute yourself.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So a few questions from my side. First, going back to one of the previous questions in terms of the offline business and the traction we are seeing in that channel. And you also mentioned on deployment of workforce. So can you give some color on the quality of business in terms of the mix that you're seeing in that particular channel? Or how do you see the profitability of that channel from more of a sustainable long-term basis compared to, let's say, your digital business in terms of the margins that both these segments can command on let's say, a like-to-like product basis?
I think there is a bit of confusion here because I've heard this word offline business, online business a few times. It is a closure mechanism. The customer is still coming on the website. The customer can be serviced either through a contact center or through a physical meeting. The cost of both these channels is pretty much the same on a per person basis. You pay a salary and you pay telecom costs and you pay a seat cost in another one. You pay a salary and you pay some travel expenses and maybe obviously lower telecom costs and lower office costs. We do not really have a branch network. These are meetings at people's homes or people's. It's only to people who have come through the online channel. So it's just a closure mechanism. You could be doing calls, video calls, and the mathematics of all of these businesses is exactly the same. In fact, if you asked us to really, get into it, the most profitable one of it actually might be the physical channel. It might be slightly more profitable than running a call center because the conversion rates are slightly higher. The products are pretty much the same. So the mix is pretty much the same. So if you look at health and life, they are, but I'd let Sarabhi get, explain that part. Is there anything specific there? I don't know if there's anything to explain.
No, so basically, most important parts, Dipanjan, the customer still comes online. This is just a way to service the customer. It's almost like you and us talking on Zoom right now, versus having a physical meeting, the quality of interaction improves a little bit.
It's an appointment model. See, a customer can choose to have a call, a video call, or a physical appointment. We will only go there if there is an appointment. We're not going walking on streets, knocking on people's doors and saying, would you like to buy insurance? That is not our model.
And sorry, I think a lot has been said. I just want to add one final point, that we verify all bookings. That verification process is run by an independent team. That team verifies all offline bookings and all online bookings. Now, I'm not sure whether if your question was about this or about PB partners, but we were talking about the retail direct business so far.
It was about the same point. So, you know, maybe I use the word offline, but what I wanted to understand is basically for this, digitally sort of lead originated but converted physically sort of a business, will the product mix be a little different from your, core digital business?
No, so I'll explain that. In health and term, the product mix is very similar to what it is online, because a person can only buy a certain product. You can only cover your family or yourself in either case. In the case of savings, yes, the ticket size does go up. In fact, quite significantly when a person meets physically versus doing online. But again, I repeat that the quality of business as measured by persistency, as measured by renewal rates, is very much in the same ballpark as the online business. In fact, sometimes a little higher, and also. So it's not, there's no quality issue at all.
Sorry, just one last question. On the POSP side of the business, you used to operate at 80-20 motor, non-motor ratio. Is there any meaningful change in that number over the past, 6 to 12 months? And how do you see this business from a run rate or a growth run rate perspective from here onwards?
You're right. It normally runs at 80-20. In Q4 of last year, because of the changes in some tax regulations, etc., life business in Q4 was actually very high. So that's why it was not 80-20 last year. But now we're running in the same neighborhood of 80-20.
So, lastly, in terms of the growth trajectory, I understand it might be output of the productivity of the, POSP partners and also the underlying asset class. But in terms of how do you foresee the overall growth trajectory in this segment?
We think that the growth will continue. We grow above the market. I think if the market is growing around 15-16%, especially in motor, we are growing two and a half times that number. I think that growth rate should continue going forward as well. Of course, having said that, now at 3,000 crores of scale, we are now a fairly large operation. So we are going to be affected by market forces and how the market behaves as well. And I think, again, I want to clarify that in POSP right now, the absolute amount of business that we are doing is not a core focus beyond a point. I think the quality of the business, the origin of the business, working with smaller agents, going into deeper into the country, going into tier 3, 4, 5 cities, I think those are more relevant things for us, especially as we look forward. Just gathering premium beyond a point is not really our focus anymore.
Got it. If I can squeeze in one small question on the reinsurance broking side, I would assume that sometime during the year you would kind of give some qualitative commentary on the progress of that particular strategy. But if you can, kind of give some color on how do you see the acceptability from both stakeholders, be it the manufacturers or the reinsurers, and which business segment, apart from protection, do you think it can really benefit either from a market share perspective or from a pricing perspective?
I think it's a bit early to give too much color. We just got our license a few months ago. We are working on it. As you correctly said, protection is one category that we definitely see it impacting. And we'll see how that goes as the year progresses. I think the good news also is that I think the industry also sees us as a channel, which is a specialized channel, especially for protection. So I think a lot of things that we would like to do for customers are available from the industry directly as well. But I'm sure with reinsurance, we will be able to make better propositions as time goes by.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dipanjan. We'll take the next question from Shreya. Shreya, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great quarter. First, just a data keeping question. Did you share Dubai premiums as well for the quarter?
It's about 210 crores.
210 crores. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
That's becoming a significant operation. That's becoming a decent sized operation. It was 100 crores last, 110 crores last.
Correct. That's also a good growth. And did you share the credit revenue? Sorry, I was a little late for the call.
Credit revenue is 146 crores.
Got it. So my main question is great delivery on the life and particularly on the health insurance side. Just going ahead, what comes to my mind is now that as the life insurers and general insurers have to achieve a expense management cap and that date is coming closer, does it concern you that they may try to push more into those channels which are considered lower cost channels going ahead? And I also want to understand the business dynamics, that if your website is naturally generating far greater volume in terms of customers, people are naturally coming to your website and raising queries more over there, how much flexibility will insurers who also have EOM cap restriction in, say, moving away from PB FinTech while they try to balance their growth and their expenses? So just trying to understand your thought process around this thing.
Oh, thank you, Shreya. See, look at the big picture here. We are at a take rate of about 16%, maybe 16%. I don't know of any EOM cap below 30%. And in health, it's actually higher at maybe 35%. The reason someone like me is not hassled about it, you saw when the renewal question was asked, I was very precise in my answers. The reason someone like me is, the ceiling is so far high compared to where we are that, you know, we really need to be the last person bothered about. So we are at about half of where the ceiling is being placed, or whatever the whatever you want to call it, right? So and we are a full cost mechanism. Like, you know, an insurance company does not really need a branch network, a regional network to do everything we do. In fact, we lean in at the point of claims. Also, we lean in at the point of service. We lean in at the point of customer service, issuance, payments. There's a huge amount we take on. So, you know, if you really thought about it, at some level, an insurance company has to give us a product. And we can do a lot of the variable cost expense for them. I wouldn't worry about it too much. The second thing I would like to point out, which is our POSP business itself, because one thing is just looking inwards, one is looking at market data. Our POSP business has a far higher take rate than our core business, which again points out, because our POSP business should be comparable to the other businesses that exist, right? So that again points out to where the issue is. It's actually not in the online business. And if you again notice, our POSP business is 80% motor, whereas our core business is 80% health and life. And you would appreciate motor actually has lower take rates than health and life. So all of this is pointing towards a very simple thing, that Policybazaar on the whole is actually a lower take rate channel. And you have to look at the total expense. And I think it's a brilliant thing for us as expense of management to come in, because that allows somebody to look at total expense. When you run other channels, you need a lot more cost. See, I don't want to... We are not here to say anything negative about any other channel. But the basic thing is, when you run another channel, there's a lot more hand-holding required and a lot more costs that still need to happen, whether it's a branch infrastructure, whether it's a sales infrastructure, whether it's a service infrastructure. In our case, Sarabir mentioned, even the relationship manager is us. So I don't think, I gave a pretty elaborate answer. I don't think that's a worry point or a concern point for us at all.
Yeah, I'll just add one point here. See, if you look at industry, the biggest cost is actually claims. So the three costs: claims, distribution, and servicing. And honestly, if someone were to analyze these three together for any particular channel, online acquired customer will come out to be the most efficient channel, everything put together. In itself also, because the nature of the product is different, the distribution costs are lower, but the claim numbers are very, very different. So, you know, this is a channel which is here to stay and to grow. More and more customers who are young want to be in control of where their money is going and what product they are buying. So, yeah, from that perspective, we are very, very short.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the part on the claims that you're mentioning. Definitely the quality of customers which comes via an online channel versus any other channel, there could be a big delta over there. Just following up on this question, so if we do a reverse, as in I understand your take rates are at a certain level, but if I go and pull out the data of the broker channel for different insurers and divide that by broker commission by broker premium, it does look higher. I know you are not the only broker. But at least on the health side, it does look higher than 16 to 17. And that's why my concern that maybe if the broker channel is really higher than 16, 17, then the EOM cap may affect you. Is my understanding correct?
I think Yashish gave a very elaborate answer. I just want to explain one thing to you, that actually the expense of management rules in favor of channel like Policy Bazaar versus the earlier system of cap on commission. See, expense of management is commission plus total cost, plus all other costs. So commission plus all other costs for Policy Bazaar are lower than, or let's say comparable to, than other channels. And I think that is the crux of the point. Now you can sort channels not necessarily by commission paid only, but by the total cost of operation. And I think the total cost of operation, even excluding claims for a second, is lower for Policy Bazaar than others. So we are, if you were to make a graph of suppliers by cost, we would be a lowest cost supplier. And hence, if you were to start chopping off people from the top, we would be the last in that list.
Okay. Understood. I got your point. Yeah. That was my question. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Shreya. We'll take the next question from Sachin. Sachin, please unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats for a great set of numbers. I have three questions. First, Yashish, clearly you mentioned growth is a priority as compared to margins. So just wanted to understand, you know, how could one think about steady state margins for core insurance and, you know, how far are we in terms of getting out there?
We genuinely don't think that way. I know it's a desire for a lot of people to have that answer. We don't think that way. We would grow. We would try to do the best possible products for the consumers, and whatever is the market clearing price for those products from a take rate perspective is what we will receive. It is not like we want to have a higher take rate than what is the market clearing price, or we want to have a lower take rate. The take rate is a function of the products we sell, right? And and of where the clearing price is. And we are comfortable. Now, I know I don't want people to take the wrong message out of this, but our preference is for lower and lower commission products, which are better and better for the consumer. But it is not like Policy Bazaar as a channel would be markedly different from the market clearing price on the total expense basis. Not just, see, commission is just one expense, but cost has to be looked at overall. And I just had one last comment from the last answer, because, you know, somewhere Sarbvir mentioned that if, you know, some channels were to be removed, then it would not be us. It would be some others who are at a higher cost on a total cost basis. But please appreciate, when a channel gets removed, the amortization of fixed costs does not happen if whichever gets removed, and actually that increases the cost for everybody else on the, you know, whatever. So it, you know, on expense of management takes care of everything, and it is actually an amortization of fixed costs over growth and volume. So actually growth and volume becomes very high priorities in an EOM environment. And essentially, as long as you are below the 30-35%, you're in a great shape. But being lower than everybody else sort of further helps. I know I've kind of diverted a little bit from your question, but I hope I answered yours and the previous one both.
And if I could just add one thing that, see, we have to also remember the context. The context of India is low penetration of health and term insurance, growing middle class, growing, you know, spread across the country. So I think this is not the stage at which one should try to maximize percentage margins. I think one should try to serve more and more customers. These customers will become more and more valuable over a period of time. And at some point into the future, there will be some time in 15, 20 years from now when you should start thinking about optimizing that mix. But right now, I think the thing is to have more customers and these customers will become more and more valuable over time.
Thank you. Very clear. My second question is more on tech. And since your last analyst day, which roughly happened about a year back, there have been good, meaningful strides and improvement in generative AI. So any big picture thoughts in terms of how you guys are looking to utilize it? And I'm asking it because you guys have a, you know, good call center support system. Are we trying to automate or trying to move and leverage generative AI in that perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we, not just generative AI, I would say that I think there are a series of technologies that have come up over the last 5-10 years, broadly AI, machine learning, etc. We are using them in a variety of areas. I think as we showed some applications last time also, one is around the whole area of risk. Second is the area of call center productivity to see how we can make our advisors more productive, how we can have more productive conversations with customers. Then there's the area of customer service. Again, the same thing. How can we offer more self-service options? How can we understand natural language of customers and again, make our agents more productive? And then finally, there's an overall opportunity to use generative AI in a sort of breakthrough kind of manner, where I think right now it's more experimentation, I would say, rather than results, where we are trying to see what we can do to change the total nature of how a customer reacts or interacts with a digital asset. So I think those are 3-4 areas which we are working on. Each of these areas has dedicated people working on them. And I think over a period of time, we'll continue to give examples as we go along.
Got it, very clear. And my last question is more a bookkeeping question. I noticed you guys paid some income tax this quarter. I would assume there are certain tax credit carry forward losses. Just wanted to get more clarity on that.
Yeah, we have about 2,100 crores of carry forward losses. So, of course, as the future years play by, we should get the benefit of those. But please do appreciate there are multiple companies, profit may lie in one company, loss may lie in another company. But Mandeep is the right person to answer in more detail.
Chairman, if you look at the tax laws, if you are generating income from your investments, that is where the set off of carry forward losses are not available. And this is the portion where we are paying tax to right now.
Or it's basically the treasury income, that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So only the losses of the last year and the previous year can be included in that. All I'm saying is we do have that 2,100 crores, but its play out will happen over time.
All right. Thanks all and all the best.
Thank you, Sachin. We'll take the next question from Nischin. Nischin, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, sorry. Am I audible now? Yeah. Hi.
Yes, Nischint.
Hi, Nischint.
Yeah. Hi. Just, you know, on the take rates, now, if I look at it, you know, your year-on-year take rate has gone down. And I think you made a small comment on that. If you could just elaborate a little bit, you know, in terms of which segment have you really seen, you know, kind of.
There is only one segment. The take rate has not changed in any segment. So whether it's health, whether it's term, whether it's motor, whether it's POSP, or even Paisa Bazaar, take rates have not changed at all. The only segment where take rate has changed is in the savings segment. Yeah, that's it.
And that's because you moved from guaranteed you know, return products to ULIPs?
We moved in some portion from capital guarantee products towards pure ULIP. And I think that is an industry trend that you must have observed across the all the calls. And I think that's something that we are also very, frankly, very happy about, because we believe that low cost ULIPs are the right product for customers. And in the long run, it's a happier customer, and that customer comes back and buys more.
You know, one of the life insurance companies has launched a high trail, product on the
annuity
side.
So we are delighted. We are delighted partners.
Okay.
I think that answers it.
Sure. Just one small thing is, if you could break up the revenue premium of 2,000 odd crores between digital and others, because I believe POSP is also getting meaningful now.
Sorry.
If you look at the renewal premium, if you could just divide it between POSP and others. Or POSP and digital.
POSP will be about...
I think the core business is about 1,750.
Okay.
If that, does the job. But POSP is about 105. Sorry. No, maybe I've got something wrong. So let Sarbir answer it.
No. I think we'll just stay with 1,750 is the core. Renewal from the core.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Sure, that's it. And just one last one was on, take rate in the POSP business. So, I think as we had a discussion, your POSP take rate is kind of on the higher side versus the company average. Although the commissions, you mentioned on the motor side would be lower than, the other businesses. So how do we reconcile this?
No. There are two reasons. One, I think what Yashish was trying to indicate was that there are channels. POSP represents, closer to the rest of the industry. So there are channels which have higher commission. POSP also has higher commission in motor because we sell commercial vehicles. So commercial vehicles don't actually come through the online route because of various reasons. So because it's more commercial vehicle heavy, that's why also the commission rates are higher in POSP.
Yeah, but broadly, at a fundamental level, see on Policy Bazaar, because the competitive platform and competitive on product and issuance rates, et cetera, you cannot necessarily increase your volume by paying more commission, right? Whereas the POSP channel essentially competes on commission. Yeah? If you really think about it at a fundamental level, it essentially competes on commission. And I think we should, Sarbir asked me to stop here on this story.
fair. But just, I think, going back to the EOM point, does this kind of, not for you, but for the entire POSP industry, does this kind of, come under some pressure because of EOM guidelines?
I guess we don't care to, let it play out. Yeah. I think a lot of things will play out.
Sure. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you,
Nishan. We'll take the next question from Yash Mehta. Yash, please unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you very much and good morning. Repeat the renewal premium, which was 4,400 crores last year. What does it correspond to in the current year?
5,845 crores.
Okay. And if I were to kind of look at the renewal rate, it seems like there is a sharp drop from about 70-odd% to 50-odd%. Am I missing something?
It is exactly 69%. It was 70% last year, 69% right now. So it's been the same. If I look at, the last 4-5 quarters, it's all 68% to 70%. In fact, the last quarter is 70%.
Understood. Fair. No, thanks for clarifying that. And one more question. In terms of, let's say, the employee count that we have for the full year versus what it was the last year, and within that, if you could break up between selling sales force and non-sales force.
Can we respond to that offline? Because that'll be a fairly detailed thing. We won't have the answer right now, but we will respond to it separately. Is that okay?
All right. I'll reach out to Rasleen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Yash. We'll take the next question from Yash Nandi. Yash, please unmute yourself.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Absolutely, Yash.
Thank you. Yashi, so, you mentioned that 64 crore PAT was a bit short of your expectation. What PAT number you would have thought you would have closed this year?
Yeah, we don't give expectation, but I was expecting 80. We came in at 64. I know So yes, I thought we should have been there, but it's okay. It's not a big deal, right? I'm just saying it is what it is. We can't. The number is what it is.
Got it.
And in that there's been a whatever 13 crores of the taxation, and maybe some quarter movements here and there. Sometimes you have to take some costs and some revenue. Accounting is accounting, at the end of it. So it is what it is. See, we're very strong on cash flow. If you really think about it, we added 260 crores on cash, but we, had some classification differences. I'm just getting into a little bit of detail, but I just wanted to share with you how I think about it, right? There was some classification changes in terms of our expenses and et cetera. Now, what that does is certain, basically the GST kind of tax, if you have, those increase, those goes from 2% to 10%. Now, those are just working capital. Something's going earlier, something's going later. So we have about 150 crores of cash, which kind of went into that. And all that is the cash will come in later. So some of those things affect our cash flows. But if I was to remove that, our positive cash flow for the year is very close to 400 crores, which is a very positive result. And I'll kind of stop there, because maybe I'm just giving more detail than we are comfortable with at this stage.
But, sure. Got it. Thank you, Yashish, for that. And, Yashish, just last question here. So in FY25, you think we can grow about 40%, and about 50% contribution from core business? Is this a right estimate that we can build in for next year?
We don't give estimates. Yeah, you are free to kind of draw your own conclusion. I hope we keep growing. I'll be amazed if we keep growing the way we are. And I'll be delighted if that happens. Yeah.
Sure. Just last question, Yashish, and this is not an forward guidance or anything like that. The website views, are they higher basically on in April versus March on Policy Bazaar, or something has changed? Like the number of website views that if you track this data.
So normally, there is a little bit of drop in traffic from March to April. We don't drop as much as the industry does, but we do have some drop. But it's this year, actually, April is similar. I would say as seasonality is very similar to every other year.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Yash. We'll take two more questions now. One from Kirit. Kirit, please unmute yourself. Hi, Kirit. Please unmute yourself. Okay, we'll take the question from Ankush. Ankush, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
So actually, the question is primarily on Bima Sugam. I think the launch of the platform is closest than ever it has been. And you guys being the industry insiders, you would have some insights on how the platform is shaping up. Specifically on the point that is being talked about the most, that it would offer policies on a preferably lower prices due to charging lower commissions. So wanted your thoughts on how, even though the platform is yet to launch, but in case this kind of offering does come in where it is offering lower prices, how do you think, based on your understanding, it would impact consumer, preference towards a platform like Policy Bazaar, which would be on a higher pricing versus, say, a Bima Sugam, right?
I think it's a fantastic thing that would happen. It would expand the market dramatically. I think with it coming in, the market might be 20x of where it is. And if it is 20x, I'm sure we'll also have some share out there. So I think competition, I don't see it as competition. I see it as an enabler. And I see it as a massive enabler from the back end in terms of digital processes, in terms of digital outlook. So yeah, we are very, very positive about it and awaiting its early launch.
No, but as a consumer who's comfortable with buying online, why would then he prefer buying through your platform versus Bima Sugam if it's getting better prices in Bima Sugam, right? That's a fundamental question that would impact your business.
Yeah, maybe we will, also have lower prices, and that will really, really expand the market. So, if you really think about it, with UPI, PhonePe and you know, Google Pay have also done very well. So, you know, the backend rails, as they streamline, it really, really benefits the digital players. So I don't want to get too much into, you know, speculative mode here, but everything in history tells us when the backend rails really get sorted, the world moves on. And maybe if we get 20 times the volume, we'll be okay with 5% of our take rates. Like, you know, why not? And maybe we'll be okay with less, and maybe we'll make money from some other industry and not make money on insurance. So I would say, don't get too worked up about it yet. You know?
Yeah. Just a data keeping question. What was the ESOP cost for the quarter?
63 crores.
63. Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take a last, let's take one last question because we could not take one.
Hi, Kirit. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, can you hear me? This is Karan speaking.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, hi. So this is Karan Danthi. This is my colleague's name. Congrats on the great results. So,
Thank you,
know, if you read some of the industry rags around what is, I guess, the current topic du jour in healthcare insurance, you know, I think there's two or three high level kind of issues. And I just want to understand how you're contributing to solving them. The first would be inflation. You know, there's clearly a lot of inflation in premiums, I think consistently double digit increases. So, you know, how do we make sure we don't run into kind of an affordability issue? Are we increasing the mix of sort of low cost plans? What are we doing on our side from an innovation standpoint to sort of combat this? I think the second thing is, which maybe plays into what you've done already, but I'd be curious what incremental innovation is coming in that, you know, a lot of these claims require high waiting times despite pre-approvals. So people sitting in hospitals for hours just waiting to get approved and have things go through. So high amount of inconvenience and decreasing affordability, I guess, were the two biggest issues. So maybe if you could just help us add some color.
Oh, thank you. I think a great question. I'm so glad I asked Rasleen to take this question. Sarbvir, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you identified two very important issues. Affordability is an issue, especially as prices have gone up over the last 2 years. So if you see, we are affordability is a segment that we are focused on this year, and we have introduced products. And one of the ways to handle affordability is to focus on where the customer lives and what is the area and what product is suited for them. So we are working on many answers. One is a preferred provider network. We are focused on deductibles, that offering small deductibles. We are offering monthly and quarterly modes of payment on our platform right now. So I think we're doing a series of things, starting from the product payment, as well as certain other deductible copay kind of arrangement to make the product more affordable. So I think that's one area that we are very much focused against. The second thing that you asked about waiting time for claims, you know, yes, it is an issue from time to time. And there again, you know, we are working with our insurance partners to try and see that at least for policy with our customers, are there ways that we can provide like a green channel kind of concept where, you know, the documentation, a lot of the stuff that is required is pre sort of populated so that at the end, you know, only the doctor discharge summary, etc. can be added and that person can be sent home. So again, this is an area where we are working during the year. I don't want to talk about it, but we are looking at some innovation around this area as well to offer customers a better experience rather than having to wait. So both, I think, are areas that are very top of mind for us.
See, at a fundamental level, on claims ratios, we are at the 45% range on a 16-year-old book, right? Which is way, way below where the industry is. And that implies to some extent the benefit of that in one way or the other can be passed on to consumers, whether it is in terms of more convenient claims handling, and whether it is in terms of, you know, smarter products. At a very fundamental level, my belief system is that insurance is for the really big events and not for the everyday, you know, expenses. And so deductibles is a great way to reduce cost and make the product more efficient. But at a very, very fundamental level, in a product like insurance, disclosure is the critical part. If you can't get very good disclosure, then everything else fails. Then your ability to control claims, ability to control inflation becomes like impossible. And I think we're doing a phenomenal job on disclosure compared to most of the other channels So feel quite confident about that. And, you know, I think we will do more in this area as we go forward. I would say wait ahead. And I'm quite excited about what all we can do in this area to make this, you know, a more robust proposition in the healthcare side. One last question. I think Sachin is...
Yes, Sachin, please unmute yourself.
Hi, Rasleen, thanks for this. And Yashish and team, great set of results. My first question is on basically PAT increase, right? You have highlighted that PAT rose by almost 550 odd CR in this fiscal year. Do you see this rate going up or going down going forward? I'm asking this because almost 330, 340 crore of impact I see is coming from ESOP expense and other income. And that's the light in which I was trying to check. Because the ESOP expense impact will decline over time, I guess.
So, Sachin, you are too smart to ask this question. Yeah, you guys have your calculations. You guys know everything sometimes better than us. You know, the calculation of profit is a pretty straightforward calculation that we have discussed many times. And you are absolutely right. The profit calculation in the medium term actually does not get impacted by new business growth at all, or in a significant manner. Sorry, saying at all was actually incorrect. But in the medium term, within 1-2 years, profit does not really depend on what happens in new business. And I think that's the key, right? And which is why for the last couple of years, if you hear my commentary, I've said, let's not focus on profit. That's an outcome. Let's focus on new business growth because that's the engine that will drive future profit. And that's what I'm assuming all of us are valuing the company on future profits, right? So I think the focus stays on, and that's not to say we don't care about profits. It's just that that's an outcome. We can't really do anything about it, right? So I think you are spot on. I'm very optimistic about the profit outlook, but that is just going to show up as we grow. And I think this year's profitability will show up in future years in terms of that. So yes, I feel good about that.
Understood. Second question, and this was my personal experience. I was buying health insurance on Policy Bazaar, and the agent was able to sort of immediately send me a link which where I could join, where he could talk about what he was talking about, right, displayed on screen as well, which was a very new and sort of good experience for a customer. So thinking from those lines, I believe there must be some more initiatives like that going on. Will you want to highlight them? Or secondly, is there the incremental cost that comes because of this or is also resulting in better conversion rates and hence basically it's making sense?
So yeah, we are looking at a very segmented and specific approach. I think Sarapir and the team are doing some very elaborate work on how we should utilize process and technology changes to make things better. But I think it's Sarapir's question to answer.
No, I think, you know, first of all, I'm glad that you had a very positive experience. I think we are trying to, as we've, I think, explained, we have a segmentation strategy. So health insurance is not health insurance. We have broken it into various buckets. In each bucket also, then we focus on making sure that the advisor tries to offer a screen sharing option. We call it screen sharing rather than video call because the customers prefer that, you know, rather than having cameras on both sides. And we show the customer the whole journey as what is the product, what is the comparison, what is good about it, what are some of the issues. So that whole thing very transparently can be discussed. So if you think about it, this is an alternative to a physical meeting. So physical meeting is of course very good, but this is equally good because you can go through the whole process. So we are continuously thinking of ways to make the process smoother as well as answer the questions that the customer may have. Some of them are actually, you know, they directly ask and some are implied. They may not ask it, but they may be worried about it. So then we share that information to them on WhatsApp or on email and say that, look, this is some of the issues that you could have, whether it's around waiting periods, around maternity, around, you know, what is allowed in the policy, what is not allowed. So I think it's a series of things that we are doing to address customer needs, some implied, some direct. And, you know, it's a continuous process that we are going down.
Thank you so much.
Cost benefit analysis, if you can quickly highlight.
Honestly, you know, at the scale at which we operate, all of these are very small marginal costs that come, and the conversion, the change in conversion overcomes the incremental cost very, very easily. So it's not really a cost issue. It's more trying to find ways to get more business. I think, as you know, right, the economics of the health business with the renewal is really, really good. So spending a little bit of extra money upfront is not a challenge.
See, we are at a very early stage of, I'd like to just, you know, close, as we are closing, I'd like to close with one particular few statements, right? We are at a very, very early stage of evolution. We are solving a pretty big problem. What is the problem we are solving? We are solving the, at a high level, we are solving the, you know, social infrastructure problem, which is that, you know, social security. Most countries, whichever way, whether you talk about the government or the people, end up spending about 30% of all income on social security. And, you know, countries that spend a lot on social security is 30% of GDP, and, you know, countries which do not spend a lot of, then the people have to pay for that social security, either pay for it in cash or pay for it in kind in terms of, you know, aggrieved situations. But it's a very, very big industry, perhaps the biggest industry in the world. Within that, we are very specifically focused on the healthcare industry. And I know, you know, in some of the questions, they, at this point, you see us as a baby, because you're basically, some people are seeing it as some kind of an online platform that gets traffic. And yes, that's a starting point. But, you know, expect us, as we look into the future, to get deeper and deeper in this. At a fundamental level, the problem we are going to solve is, what is the problem in healthcare, right? It's all about misaligned interests. A person does not want to buy insurance till they need it. By the time they buy insurance, nobody wants to give them insurance. The hospital wants to overcharge for stay. The insurance payee problems. Now, all these problems need to be ironed out and solved. And yes, our endeavor, if you ask us in the long run, is going to be to address all the problems. And I emphasize on the word all, not on just the front end, you know, demand side. And which is where, you know, sometimes when you know, I know we always never respond very properly on some questions. I think the mistake people make of looking at us is looking at us in a very static position and looking at us just the online platform. I think if you were to look at us from a 15-year point of view, that would be a mistake. That's at least not our endeavor. I wouldn't be happy if 15 years from now we're just a online platform which is doing some comparison and sending traffic here and there. You know, that would actually, from me personally, be quite a disaster. So with that, I'll close now and, you know, look forward to these next 15 years. But thank you very much for joining. And yeah, thank you.